Chairperson, I have a quorum. I have 7 members in the meeting, Chair. We can start if you would like to do that now. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, Llewellyn, and good morning to the members, good morning to the department led by the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, and all the officials, and good morning to everybody that is part of our meeting. We are having this meeting today to deal with the fourth quarterly report of the department, but also the ICT. But we are requesting the members that we probably first adopt the oversight report that we recently took in two provinces, KZN and Gauteng, so that it can be sent for HTC, because that's actually the report that we are going to debate tomorrow. But as for the agenda, that's how it is, as it is cited in front of us. Are there any apologies, Llewellyn?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've received one apology. Honourable Dr. Tembe Kwayo will be joining us a bit later. She's just got an appointment that she needs to attend. If you would like, I think the attendance register. Chairperson, I have Honourable Aduans, I have Honourable Siwela, Honourable Yabo, I've got Honourable van der Walt, Honourable Mashabela, and Honourable Nobo. I hope I haven't left out somebody, as they may have been coming into the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, it's Honourable Supervisor.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Llewellyn and Honourable Sugar. Okay. So, members, that's the agenda as flighted there. Can we adopt the agenda?
Honourable Sukasia Chair, I move to adopt the agenda.
Thank you, Honourable Sukasia Chair.
I support.
Thank you very much, Honourable Suwela. And then we will just take probably just a few minutes to adopt this report, and then after that we'll hand over to the minister to give the political overview. Members would understand we undertook an oversight visit, which was because of the unrest that happened in KZN and in KwaZulu-Natal in July. We had this oversight from the 9th to the 13th of August. It was ourselves and the Select Committee on Education, Technology, Sport, Arts and Culture from the National Council of Provinces. Our oversight were mainly in KZN and in Gauteng. We visited in Mgungu Ndlovu, Pine Town, Durban Central, Ekhu Ruleni, Gauteng East, and Johannesburg North. Those are the districts that we have visited, and we went to those provinces, and those were the issues that we were looking for. We had to check at the schools that have been affected in the July unrest. We had to report on damages and vandalism and stolen items, the cost and the repairs, and what has not been addressed and had a case to, and whether their cases were opened with subs, whether they had any goods that have been recovered, and whether there has been arrest that has been made. And we're also looking at the progress that has been made by the South African Police Services. So we have then been joined by the SGBs, we have been joined by SAPA, we have been joined by the departments, the provincial departments, and the districts, but we have been joined by the Department of Basic Education as well. So that is the delegation that was there, as highlighted in the report. And then in Gugunzovu, those are the schools that we visited. It's three schools, Sikasihle, Khayelihle, and Sikululiwe. And in Durban Central, it's Vukuza, Kemtetweni, Dumihleni, and in Pai Town, it was Prosetu, and Kwamashu, and Golden Steps. And in Mgugunzovu, those are the issues that we've dealt with. Members are aware because they were there, they have seen themselves. I'm not going to go into each school what had happened. So you can move. Each school has got its own recommendations, as members would notice. And we are just trying to move as fast as we can. I think the oversight is still very fresh in our minds. And I take it that members had an opportunity to go through the report as it was sent, I believe, on Saturday. Can proceed. Okay, and then that's the conclusion, and then our committee and the select committee, having conducted the oversight visit in KZN and Gauteng, and having considered the damages, vandalism, and looked to request the Minister of Basic Education to ensure that the Provincial Education Department visited, considered the following recommendations. So those are the recommendations that in KZN members recommend that the schools establish a proximity safety and security committee, and then the community policing forum, what committee and sub-stakeholder be visible at schools to ensure that there are regular patrols which include members of the South African police, and where there was overgrown bushes and grass, members recommend cutting and clearing of overgrown bushes, and members recommend that schools can utilize their norms and standard budget for some of the repairs, and the district was asked to submit a detailed breakdown of damages to all KZN schools. With regards to Gauteng, members recommend availability and services of security guards, and members asked the department to ensure that there is sufficient number of night patrollers employed by the school, and then members recommend that replacement of mobile schools with permanent structures. Members recommend that schools consider and adopt a COP initiative to mitigate issues of safety and security. Members recommend for installation of perimeter fencing as urgent in order to curtail the movement of animals. And in line with school safety policy, members recommend for establishment of functional safety committee to assist with schools, ICT equipment to be replaced as soon as possible for effective learning. Members commented that burglaries and vandalism was an ongoing problem at some of the schools. In that regard, the department should bring people on board with campaigns on that project for their schools. With regards to the DBE, members recommend that the department ensure that there are adequate patrollers and identified hotspots. The department have to organize road shows and awareness campaigns to sensitize parents. The department needed to fix the leaking roofs prior, as well as attend the damaged ceiling boards. In collaboration with the Department of Social Development, the department solicited for the deployment of social workers for schools where there is a necessity in order to provide learners with support. Members recommend that mobile structures be replaced with building more permanent structures. Members needed to prioritize the vandalized schools for refurbishment and repairs. Members suggested that the incorrect quantiling of the schools provide training and development of SGP members be conducted. And then we do a word of appreciation, myself and the chair, Chabeleng. We are thanking the members of the Provincial Department of Education, the National Department of Basic Education for their support given during the oversight visit. And we also extend appreciation and thanks to the teachers' unions, the SGPs, for taking time to meet with the committees and share their experiences and challenges. So that is the report, honorable members, particularly those who were also part of the oversight. Any corrections?
Hey, it's honorable Suker here.
Yes, honorable Suker.
Chair, I the report for me does not reflect the dismay that we had around the presentation that was done by the department, the provincial department, to the portfolio committee, specifically in KZN, and the disconnect between what was reported to us and what we have seen on the ground. That's the one. And secondly, the state of the schools that we have visited in light of the infrastructure report that was given to us by the department over the course of last year, that it does not reflect again what has been reported to us even at the round table. Those comments were made on visits, especially at the last school that we visited in KZN and the previous one. I do not see it reflected here unless I have missed it.
All right, any other members? Okay. I think probably what you are raising, Honorable Sukers, is that, okay, Honorable Adwan.
Okay. No, I thought you did not see my hand. Thank you very much, and greetings to the Minister, DM, DG, and all the members and everyone who's attending the meeting. Let me appreciate the report, Chair. For me, I see that everything that we went through the oversight for has been captured. Yes, there are those silent issues that are not part of this the report, as Honorable Sugels has indicated. And now I would want to make a recommendation, Chair, that we have a
we are missing you, Whip. Honorable Adwan. Yeah. Okay. Honorable Adwan. Okay. Can you mute Llewelyn until he comes back?
Department on
oh. Honorable Adwan. Hello, Honorable Adwan. We lost you. Oh, okay. Can you just repeat on what you think we need to do?
let me probably give Honorable Nota the first minister and just make a balance.
No, Chair, I think, sorry, Chair, I hope you have my audible. It's natural, obviously. Chair, I just wanted to emphasize what the Honorable Advance just said now. That's the only thing I was going to raise. In fact, I should cover it. And then in terms of recommendations to the department nationally, we had said that there must be an engagement with the provincial departments to see if there can be a circuit or district-based approach on safety and security of schools. I don't know if that has been properly captured. I see the CPS, I see the SAPS school initiatives, but that point was also put forward there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Minister?
No, thank you, Chair. I am not very sure what it is, your report and your recommendations. Maybe at some stage we will have an opportunity to engage with people. Some of the recommendations you sent to us are already provincial responsibility. So you're going to come back to us in your monitoring and say, has this happened, which, and we'll come back to you to say, no, it's not within our responsibilities. So I'm sure we'll submit the report as it stands. If I am to propose, and as I say, you are free to take it or not, that you open up your recommendations, that you're not specific about what DBE should do, and just say the department and its provinces, then it covers us in areas where it's not the competency of the national to act on those matters, so that we are not specific, say DBE has to do the following. But we'll come back and say, no, it's not within our competency, so we have no responsibility and power over them. So my recommendation, open it up and broaden up your recommendations to say DBE and the provincial departments, then it really covers us where it would not be in our areas, and we will engage with the provinces and say, you were instructed to do the polling. How far are we now?
No, thank you very much, Minister, for that. With regards to the report, I think what Honorable Sukers was raising should probably be just captured, Llewellyn, even if it's in your introduction, as she has been raising it, that we had this report. And from where we have found on the ground, does not really correspond. It's probably just in the introduction, and go as the report is, till at the section where we are putting the recommendations. You just add to where the DBE you just read and the provinces, so that it's the recommendations that we are making to DBE and the provinces. But that as it may, then I think we are set for the report. We are fine with it, with all the recommendations that has been made by the members. Can we then move to adopt the report?
I move, Chair. I've raised my hand. I'm sure you know.
Sorry.
All right, no problem.
Sorry.
I intend to adopt the report, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Adwan. Any seconda? No data? You are not seconding. Any seconda?
Chair, I second.
Thank you very much, Principal. Thank you very much. That then brings us to the end of adoption of the report. Can I hand over to you, Minister, to lead us on the political overview?
Chair, let me thank you most sincerely again for giving us the opportunity to join the portfolio committee to present the report. And Chair, I think the report speaks for themselves. There isn't much that I really want to highlight around the contents of the report. I think it's our usual statement that we are, as the department, trying to do whatever we can to make sure that we were able to return our learners to school. Other matters, I think I would want to communicate with you, Chair, even maybe as subjects that we should discuss at the portfolio committee, to take forward to Parliament, which are not part of today's agenda. And one of them, Chair, which I would want to propose is the one about teenage pregnancy and comprehensive sexuality education. because it was from Parliament that we're also getting lots of screams about comprehensive sexual education. And now we are confronted with having to answer questions of 10-year-olds who are falling pregnant because members were saying we're sexualizing kids and really bringing false information to the house. And I would really appeal that at some stage, let's open up the subject and discuss this matter, which is quite serious. But as I said, our provinces are working very hard to make sure that we can mitigate against our challenges. And I'm very grateful that the subjects have chosen, especially on not just learning and teaching, but also on a report, will be able to enable the portfolio committee and parliament to appreciate the hard work that is happening despite all the difficulties that we are experiencing. Chair, for today, on the subjects that are before us, I think the reports will speak for themselves. I was just raising other topics like comprehensive sexual education and teenage pregnancy as one subject that I would really appreciate if we can engage ourselves in as part of elected public representatives, because it is a serious matter. It's a Women's Month, and we don't seem to be really winning a battle against gender-based violence, but still, even teenage pregnancy of a 10-year-old is also serious abuse of women and girl children. So I just wanted to say that, Chair, and abuse the platform you've given me. But I really want to thank you most sincerely and say the DG will lead the presentations. I want to be speaking, Chair, and yeah, I want to leave it at that. And thank you most sincerely for the opportunity. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I see the hand of Honorable Hendricks is up.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Connection gives me video problems. I'm sorry, I also want to abuse the matter raised by the Honorable Minister with regard to scriptural sexual lessons and the Minister's concern about the teenage pregnancies. We obviously have a position on that, which is well known, but we would like to, with respect, suggest to the Minister that she takes into account the efforts of the late Zulu Queen, who did a lot of work in this regard, and we don't have so many teenage pregnancies when we look at the success of the programs that she has instituted. And I would like to suggest that the Minister directs the department to look at some of those interventions because, as we know, the scripted sexual explicit lessons that's on the table and which is stored somewhere is creating a lot of controversy. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do anything about it. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Honorable Chair.
You have really abused now this opportunity, Honorable Hendrik, and I've allowed because you're not always in our meetings. We are giving members at a certain point an opportunity to speak. You have really abused us. But nonetheless, it is okay. Let me then give to you all. Oh, thank you very much, Minister. Let me then give to you, DG, to lead the presentations, and please do both of them. We're going to interact with them both when you are done.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and the Honorable Members. I will start with the fourth quarterly report, Chair, and then after that we'll move to a sequence in your agenda and then move to online learning. We presenting the fourth quarterly report. I don't know whether the screen before you appears. Yeah, then it appears correctly now. And we're presenting the fourth quarterly report, which has two parts to it. The first part is really to look at how we have performed in terms of the predetermined objectives as they relate to performance indicators, as well as the set targets. As it is usually the case, Chair, I'm not going to go through each and every slide. I will speak to the presentation because assuming that the presentation has indeed been shared. And I then move to the highlights. The main highlights as they appear is really the class of 2020. As you can see that the minister announced the results of this class on the 22nd of February. This class really defied the odds. It defied the odds. The highest number of candidates combined
recording in progress
at one place, but also as you can see that we've seen also the highest number of those NSC candidates who wrote the exam, and even the highest number of those who passed, the highest number of distinctions, the highest number of bachelors. In fact, this class has really outperformed the previous classes, except for in the overall pass rate. And that's why we try to make the point that looking at the overall pass rate only is a bit minuscule. It doesn't give you a full picture of the performance of the class that has traversed for almost 12 to 13 years. As you can see, we continue to just give more information in terms of the girl learners as well. 65% of them obtaining distinctions, which is almost unparalleled if you compare with the previous classes. But we're also providing information on the marking centers that we visited, given the environment within which we had to administer these exams. But also what becomes important going beyond the class just of 2020 is our focus on infrastructure. You'll also see Minister and Deputy Minister have been holding us accountable on a weekly basis. And that reflects on the performance of the department and the sector, as you will see later on. But also the number of Funza Lushaka buses that we brought on board. Deputy Minister, you know, visiting provinces together with the Minister, following on their footsteps as we move to different parts of the country, monitoring over the system. Essentially, we're reporting on five programs, as we usually do, based on the medium-term strategic framework 2019 to 2024 and action plan 2024 towards schooling 2030. So that's what frames this report. And we do a comparison of the fourth quarter of the last financial year and the fourth quarter of this financial year. The fourth quarter of the last financial year, we can argue that essentially COVID happened towards the end of the fourth quarter, really. In fact, lockdown, not COVID, lockdown, towards the end of March. So it would be a quarter that was not as affected as this other quarter. And we look at this, as you can see, that in terms of not achieved, in the previous quarter it was 28%, in this quarter, very minuscule to a 0%, partially achieved, as you can see, 11%, but in this quarter, we look at 10%. But what is really significant is what has been achieved under the environment of COVID-19. How we did this, it's almost a miracle. We're still trying to understand how we got all of these things right, performed far better than where the environment was much more conducive, improving from 61% to 90%, which is almost unparalleled in the history of the establishment of the department, even before the department split from, you know, being together with the Department of Higher Education and Training. And the pie chart gives a very nice picture there to just compare, to do that comparison between the two. And then we move to the next slide, which is the program one, which is really a program that provides support to the rest of the programs in the department. And as we track down these performance indicators, we have achieved with a slight negative variance for both parts of the indicator. We move to the next slide, slide number 12. In terms of slide number 12, again, the indicator 1.1.2, slight positive, I mean, we've achieved no deviation there, as you can see, but as you go down to 1.1.3, a positive deviation there as you go down. And then in the next indicator, 1.2.1 to 1.2.2, no deviation, so we've achieved that one as well. And we move to then the summary of the activities, staffing services and human resource support. We've advertised posts here, and we're able to fill some, and some we're unable to fill. We have to re-advertise, and therefore you'll see this even in the expenditure as well. Training and social responsibility, those are some of the areas that we covered. Labor relations, the summary of our achievements, the activities that we carried out. We move to the next one. Financial services, those are essentially key activities that were carried out and which we're able to achieve. Supply chain, the same applies there. And as we move to the next one, security management and asset, we detail those key activities that are summarized there, including daily health screening, as well as additional generators which were needed, including the area of information technology. Legal services, we had to deal with in the main contract matters. We also had to deal with 10 requests of legal opinions because of the work that we do, and the issue really was about the admission policy there, as well as the task team that has been established to peruse the documents and consolidate the admission policy. And then in terms of QLTC, a lot of activities, a number of activities that have been taking place there to galvanize civil society, whether it be unions, whether it be business and so on, to galvanize them to support education, a lot of activities, as you can see, which have also been carried out together with various stakeholders there. And then government information technology, where the main issue was about the service level agreement, which we signed with the CETA, and meetings which were held as reflected there, and activities of the steering committee. And then the following main activity is about UNESCO, or some activities of UNESCO, although many of them were really taking place virtually. We move to the next slide. Strategic planning, a host of activities as we can see then, between DPME, DPME, and National Treasury and ourselves, as well as our interaction with Parliament to table statutory requirements in terms of either reports that we present to Parliament or APPs, plans, and so on, including our entities as covered there, Umalusi and SAIS, which are still expected to meet their statutory requirements there. The branch reviews, meetings which took place and planning together with strategic planning function and the branches that we have, the work of HEADCOM and HEADCOM subcommittees, which also had to be coordinated by this line function. A medium-term strategic framework revision and incorporation into the APP. The research work that continues around EGRS 2, early grade reading improvement, which is very important, reading support project there, and HEADCOM subcommittees on planning, monitoring, and evaluation, and the analysis of the state of the nation address, which is important, we also presented to the portfolio committee about, and then the general household survey, which is important report that we interact with together with TESSA. The next one. These are the meetings which took place, planned proceedings recorded by the line function. And next slide. And then international relations, some activities which took place there as documented and summarized in the slide. The issue of partnerships as indicated and summarized under this slide as well, including those organizations that are stated there. This is the core business of the sector and the department, curriculum, monitoring and policy, and in terms of the indicator 2.1.1, no deviation, and we have met that indicator. Next one, 2.1.2, we've also met the indicator with positive variance, and we're giving some explanation as to why the positive or the negative variation. This one is partially achieved, 2.1.3. And the major issue here, Chair, is the impact of COVID-19, as many of these learners were kept at home, and therefore the activities that involved them could not be carried out. And it's for that reason that we are unable to fully achieve this indicator. The next slide. Learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities. And then 2.1.4, we have achieved the indicator. We can move to the next one, and we're providing outputs as indicated there. And then 2.1.5, we've also partially achieved that indicator, and we're giving an explanation, delays that we experienced between the two departments, which also have led to that indicator not being fully achieved, given the complications that are related to this function shift that we needed to carry out. 2.1.6, we fully achieved that indicator without any deviation. We can move to the next slide. And then again, issues related to ECD, as the same explanation that I've proffered earlier on, 2.1.7, we've partially achieved this one. And then 2.1.8, we fully achieved this one, and there's no deviation. We move to the next one, 2.1.9. We've also achieved this one, 2.1.10, also also achieved with no deviation. We can move to the next one. This one is partially achieved. A slight negative variation of 4, as we can see. Also, issues of the impact of COVID-19 face-to-face interaction, which could not be allowed, and some delays experienced in visiting other provinces and other schools, as indicated there. 2.1.12, partially achieved, as indicated there. And then we move to 2.1.13, which is fully achieved, and we provide also an explanation that we need to be partially achieved. And then 2.1.21 is fully achieved up to 2.2.3. We have achieved those ones. We move to the next one, 2.2.4 rather, to 2.2.5, also fully achieved with no deviation. Move to the next one. The same applies to these ones, 2.2.6 to 2.3.1, fully achieved with no deviation, and 2.3.2 and 2.3.3, also fully achieved with no deviation. Next slide. 2.3.4 and 2.3.5, also fully achieved with no deviation. And 2.3.6 and 2.3.7, some positive deviation in 2.3.7. As we can see, the other one, no deviation at all. 2.4.1, partially achieved, and we have offered a brief explanation there. The same applies to 2.4.3, also partially achieved, and as indicated, we've also provided reasons for deviation. For instance, we think four provinces account for the deviation. And then we move to the next one, 2.4.4, no deviation, fully achieved. Move to the next slide. And then we provide a summary of the activities carried out under curriculum implementation and quality improvement in the FET. We provide a summary of those activities. We move to the next slide. And then under GET, we also provide the activities there, including multi-grade annual teaching, as well as project-based learning activities. And then moving down to inclusive education, we also provide a comprehensive summary there. And then we move to mathematics, science, and technology, and information and communication. We summarize them. DBE Cloud is one of those, ICT professional teacher development, connectivity, content development, and distribution, characterizing the activities there. Further on, basic education sector appointed the youth and provided training, and we furthermore indicate e-caders which were trained in those programs that are indicated below, and then activities that relate to focus schools, we also provide a summary there. Furthermore, coding and robotics, a summary of the activities that are covered in provinces that were also covered, and also implementation of the pilot in project management teams, national training teams, as well as participants orientation manual, learner and teacher resources, as some of those key activities that we carried out. Enhancement of programs and evaluation of school performance with respect to LGSM workbooks remain our flagship project. This is one deliverable where we can vouch for 100% coverage. As you all know, honorable members, we've got a tracking device, very effective tracking device. if you are in any school and they say they don't have a workbook, you just call us and we are able to check on the tracking system. We'll tell you exactly who received the consignment, when, and what was in the consignment in terms of the workbooks. Braille workbooks, we've also moved in that direction, and a review of the Grade R workbook was one of those major activities. The English master copies also as one of the key activities that we carried out together with the NECT. The next one, well, state-owned textbooks, we had a virtual workshop looking at the business studies framework for the development of the terms of reference, a virtual workshop for mathematics booklet, universal coverage, LTSM electronic system. We are at 80% of the development of this system, which will help us to track every textbook in every grade for every learner in every school. And this is the example that we are giving about grade R to grade 9 workbooks volume 1. You can see we can vouch for 100% delivery of the workbooks because of the tracking system that we have. Volume 2, the same. ECD, we're looking at draft booklet, ECD function shift, which has been a major occupation of both officials in social development and basic education. The proclamations, good progress. President has signed the proclamation. Only 4 provinces out of 9, and I think we'll hear more about that tomorrow. And we've been following up on the 4 to get them to sign the proclamations and to get this finalized to meet our deadline as indicated in the report. The MOU between social development and DBE as one of those key activities. Well, yeah, I've covered this. I've covered all of this. We move to the next slide. Primary school reading improvement program carried out by the NECT. Quite a number of activities carried out. Number of schools and districts that are covered there. And these are the provinces indicated below that are part of this program. Next slide. Rural education, some activities that are carried out there. The second chance metric program, there is a detailed presentation that's coming to the portfolio committee on this. But in summary, these are the key activities that have been covered under the second chance program. You will see it even in the performance of the part-time candidates, both in the NSC and the amended senior certificate, a vast improvement in the performance, in the enrollment, but also in the performance of candidates that enrolled. Next slide. Program 3, which is really about teachers, and this one is to promote the quality of teaching as well as institutional management and governance. 3.1.1, positive variance. 3.1.2, no deviation but achieved. Next one. 3.1.3, a very big positive variance there. As we can see, 3.1.4, no deviation but achieved as well. Move to the next one. Next one. 3.3.1 and 3.3.2, no deviation also achieved. 3.3.2 achieved, fully achieved. And this is the summary of the key activities, education, labor relations, and conditions of service, issues of protocol document between states and the employer on managing educator conduct, as well as circulars that we issued on the return of educators featured quite prominently during this financial year. We can move to the next one. Again, continuing the addendum to the circular, and as we move from one alert level to the other, we had to issue circular, circular one, circular two, as indicated there. Consolidated reports from provinces, preliminary annual report, the annual report, and in terms of the placement of the Funza Mshaka graduates, we're providing very interesting stats of 80% and more there, which is good. We'll move to the next one, and we provide that detail per province, broken down, delineated performance. Well, we continue to provide a number and percentage of schools where allocated posts were filled per province, right? Continuing professional development, we're providing a summary of the activities there that were carried out, educator performance management and development, and whole school evaluation. We also provide a summary of the provinces that were covered and key activities which were carried out in this regard. Again, teacher development implementation. We're also providing partners that are working with us on this, as well as key activities and some of the subjects that are involved, which were carried out, and provinces which were covered in terms of teacher development reports, curriculum research. We also provide the number of provinces and districts which were covered in this regard. Initial teacher education, we're giving the numbers there of the Funza Lushaka awarded bursaries. Education management, governance and development, the surveys which were carried out, and those that were captured, and we're providing important statistics there. Program 4, which is the last but one program, planning information and assets, it's about the delivery of the basic education system through planning, implementation, and assessment. Move to the next one, 4.1.1, with a slight variation of a positive 8. We move to the next one, partially achieved, 4.1.2, with a negative variation of 302 there. And I must say that it's probably our highest performance in history in terms of the SAFE program, which is attributable to the accountability that I referred to earlier on of the minister and the DM and the rest of us going out to construction sites to monitor what is happening there. And I think this is the only deliverable under infrastructure which is partially achieved. In the past, if you go and check our fourth quarterly reports in the past, they will all be red. This time around, there's no red. It's only partially achieved. The rest are fully achieved. We've even exceeded, if you look at the next slide. As I've said, a slight variation, particularly schools provided with water, 4.1.3, 4.1.4, and again, schools served with emergency water. You can see under COVID environment, we have a positive variation of 216 there. is part of the work that we did. 4.1.5, a slight variation of plus 3. Move to the next slide. And 4.2.1, no deviation. The same applies to 4.2.2. 4.2.3, partially achieved with a variation of 147 there. You can move to the next slide. 4.2.4, a slight positive variation. 4.2.5, no deviation, the same applies to 4.2.6, fully achieved. 4.2.7, the same. 4.3.1, no deviation, fully achieved. 4.3.1 and 4.3.2, partially achieved, as the explanation also provided there. 4.3.3, slight positive variation. Move to the next one. This is one indicator that we didn't achieve. 4.3.4, a variation of 61.2%. 4.3.3, no deviation, fully achieved. And 4.3.6, a positive variation. And this is the summary, examination and assessment, administration, covering SASMs, surveys which were carried out, LURIDs, the data that was uploaded, the master list of schools, that's the summary of what has been carried out. District level planning, school principal satisfaction survey, this is very important because it tells us what principals think view the service that we provide to them. The National Teaching Excellence Awards, which is a very important program in the department to provide motivation to those that perform well, support for underperforming districts, and development of the database on data-driven districts, which is very, very important to give us a deep speak now and again of how learners in the classroom are performing, loading this information on a monthly basis and getting the involvement of school principals, school management teams, circuits, districts and provinces. Provincial and district planning implementation, the publication of the amended calendar, we continue to amend the calendar, we're still going to amend the 2021 school calendar, given the extra week that was provided for the winter vacation. So the amendment of that is continuing, as well as the draft of 2022 and 2023 have been considered, as well as the involvement of stakeholders. Next one. School level planning and implementation and support, providing the total number of underperforming secondary schools which have been supported, the strengthening and the utilization of performance data, a total number of 458 schools in 18 districts which were assessed, and the breakdown is indicated there. National Education Evaluation and Development Unit, DVE COVID-19 Provincial Oversight Report, but doing quite a lot of work our one-on-one meetings with the individual provinces, setting the questions for the questionnaire and getting us to get even the state of readiness for schools when they close and they return. You can move to the next one. The donor grant management, which is the work that still continues in the department, compilation of the reports, looking at the EIG, those grants, HIV and AIDS, LSPID, MST, NSMP, and SI PEG. Project management, which goes along with the management of those activities that are indicated below. Financial planning and provincial budget monitoring. The key activity here is engagement with provinces to look at how provinces are performing financially and how they carry out, you know, their budgeting activities, as well as look at compliance with policies and regulations that are there in the basic education sector. And colleagues were constrained also by the COVID environment for face-to-face engagement, so they had to resort to virtual meetings to monitor what is happening in provinces. Public examinations, a lot of this has been shared with the portfolio committee, details of the papers that were set, as well as, you know, the process that such papers are going through, as well as, you know, the examination centers, the marking centers, all of this was already shared with the portfolio committee. Next slide. Well, the quality assurance of marking, which is an important activity, and indicating that marking had to take place under adjusted level 3. It was quite tough for markers, but we applaud them for the gallant act that they've carried out, going against even those who advised against going to marking and some who opted not to go. But many of them carried out this national duty of marking the scripts of our learners. The meetings of the NEIC, activities that are indicated there, activities of Umalusi and Chilakuba. And then that continues. We move to the next slide. The establishment of the task team that had to carry out the investigation of the two leaked papers, and the release of the report, the recommendations of that, we detail that in this as well, and summarize by saying that Umalusi eventually approved the results. We also continue to provide information on pre-standardization activities which took place, also bring back the notion of a combined November exam, and the exam that should have taken place in June, as well as the consolidation of the data, the media release. Chair, there's noise that is competing with the presentation. Let's move to the next slide. System administration, the registration for the June 2021, we've just had those exams. The online and the manual registration, and people acquaint themselves very well with this in the main. The registration of the November 2021 exams, things have gone very well for that. The data provision in this regard, the new systems that we are using in the area of exams. Next slide. National assessment, the development of tests, looking at teams, highlights of teams, grade 9 and grade 5, as well as ELNA, preparing for ELNA, but also preparations for PILS 2021, which would have been administered by now, as well as systemic evaluation tools that we are using with at the moment. The last program, Chair, is Education Enrichment Services, a very important program which also supports the core business of the department. 5.1.1 achieved with a slight positive variation. Next one, 5.1.2 as well as 5.1.3 achieved with no deviation. Next one. 5.1.4 partially achieved with negative variation, which is indicated there, and the explanation provided. And
I'm getting a message from member Masabela that she can't hear you. I'm just trying to check with other members because I can hear you properly. I'm just checking if other members can hear or is it her problem alone?
We can hear him very clearly, Chaperson.
I suspect that is a gadget problem.
Okay.
Not the same, we are hearing you.
Okay. No, thank you very much because I can also hear very clear. So, Manasabela, I think that is your network problem. You can proceed, DG.
My profuse apologies, Chair. I hope I could do something to help Honorable Mashabela. Sports enrichment in education. We monitor the implementation of social cohesion, school safety, sports and enrichment program, draft regulations for the return to play of sports, as we all remember, dealing with, going back to adjusted level one, reading clubs competition. This branch also contributes, not only curriculum. Next slide. Social cohesion and equity in education, the COVID-19 pandemic forced the DBE to migrate all social cohesion programs online, virtual and digital platforms. That's what we needed to do within the spare of the moment. District advocacy and awareness is one of those key activities. Girl-boy equity movement, online dialogue held in partnership with UNICEF, as indicated there. Safety in education, the National School Safety Framework, which we always talk about here, we monitored 16 districts across four provinces, which are indicated there. Health promotion, a total number of 12 schools which we monitored. But also the government-to-government successfully completed the recruitment process of all staff members, a total number of 17,819 girl learners which were reached through the Adolescent Girl and Young Women Program, a 75% achievement against the total of 23,552. These are some of the key activities which were carried out there, including the involvement of cabinet. The psychosocial support services interviews were conducted for common elements treatment approach, master training teams, training the learner support agents, which are very important given the fact that we don't have enough expertise or experts who can engage with this. So the LSAs play a very important role. School nutrition, 37 schools against the target of 30 were monitored. We have exceeded there. And then we move to part B, which is the financials. We can move to the next slide. From the 23.3 billion, which was allocated to the department, we spent 22.9 billion, which gives you a variance of 494 million, which works out to 97.9%. Next slide. And we're providing reasons for underachievement, which we detail them throughout. We delayed payments for the AG and audit fees for preliminary audit there. Next slide. We further also indicate why in program two you had that underperformance. Provinces that could not meet the requirements of spending the grant for learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities. And we've provided the reasons there. Those learners were not available for programs that were prepared. They were kept at home because parents were very reluctant to release them. We also provide an explanation in terms of teachers, education, human resource, and institutional development as to why the variance there. The variation of the vacillation between the currency of the rand versus the dollar, it's one of those explanations that we are providing there. It's better to provide more than less, but when you get to pay the exact amount which is less, it will show an under expenditure. Okay, well, understanding in infrastructure backlog grant, given the fact that getting a construction site going back to construction, many of them took a while because they had to prepare and go back with fewer workers on site than it used to happen before. So that's the impact of lockdown. Well, the same applies to curriculum enrichment there. We did provide an explanation that their face-to-face activities impacted negatively on their performance. They had to revert to virtual platforms to be able to carry out their activities. Well, economic classification, Chair, you can see compensation of employees. I've already indicated that we have not been able to fill all the posts, and this post are not teachers' posts, are posts based at DBE. As people get promotional posts to other departments, posts are left vacant, and in other instances, when people leave for transfers to other departments, to provinces, that's what would lead to these vacancies. And so it works out to 97.9% overall in terms of economic classification. Well, we're providing reasons there, which I have already covered. The area of transfers is another one which relates to even money that we had to pay overseas for some of our offices that we are using overseas because of the variation between the rand and the dollar, which I have explained already. The under expenditure, some under expenditure that we experienced in infrastructure, particularly SAFE and ACIBI, and we are providing reasons there. Again, on this one, we're just indicating how those areas that are indicated there, which include grants, the workbooks, the Matric Second Chance, LSPID as earmarked funds, how they performed. You can see the lowest performing there was the oversight that had to be carried out for the MSP because people couldn't do face-to-face interaction. And that's why you see that underperformance, which is very high. And we provide an explanation here, and you can see that lockdown and COVID-19 is the main reason that is provided for inability to provide face-to-face transfers. Overall, our transfers generally look good. Where we are slightly low, a membership is because we have budgeted in terms of the currency rate of the dollar versus the rand. We budgeted more, and then it came down. Well, expenditure on our CD is as much. We're showing there economic classification. You can see that building and other fixed structures, as indicated earlier on, which account for that expenditure. And these are the reasons that we are providing, Chair. Next one. Expenditure on conditional grants for March. These are essentially transfers, really, but which could be confirmed before. In fact, after the provinces would have been audited, that the figures were correct. And we're providing reasons. The main one there is learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities.
Thank you very much for your indulgence, Chair. I'm then going to request Ms. Kabani to try and go quickly over the next presentation. I hope that we won't keep you that long. Mr. Kabani?
Thank you, DG, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the Senior Management of the Department of Basic Education. Thank you for the opportunity. As you said, DG, I will try to take members as quickly as possible through this presentation on the implementation of online learning within the basic education, which is an update to the portfolio committee. I will not get into the presentation outline as I will be going through each of the sections. Provision of education through digital means is something that we've been doing as a Department of Basic Education even before COVID hit us. But COVID then pressed us very hard when we were faced with instances where we had to have total lockdowns and schools had to be suspended. And we had to find ways of ensuring education continuity, even under those conditions. And we then had to accelerate our efforts of making education available to all South African learners. And our approach, DG, or Chairperson, involved using what we call low-end technologies that includes television and radio that are easily accessible by ordinary citizens across the country. To high-end technologies, those are the ones that require internet and broadband to access. But we also have middle technologies like the social media platforms, WhatsApp, Telegram, those that just require data for you to access these platforms. So our approach used all these approaches to ensure that we don't leave anybody behind. We also had to make educational sites accessible to all learners through a partnership with the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, where we had to zero-rate educational sites to ensure inclusivity and that those who do not have money to buy data, that they are able to access education as well through this. And our efforts also expanded into the new territory of virtual classrooms, where we are currently piloting and will be reporting later on. Provision of education content through various portals, school websites, and working with other organizations, but our key partner being the NECT that we work with to provide the remote learning initiative. Two of our main programs that we are working on is what you call the Wozametric and the Tswelopele platforms. The Wozametric targets the grade 12s and it provides educational resources, live lessons, as well as video on demand materials for learners to support them during these difficult times. Tswelopele targets the grade R to 11. Our target is to reach about 1.2 million learners and 50,000 teachers as well as parents as we provide these two platforms that are key in delivering education. The slide, broadcasting on television, it gives you a number of platforms that we are using: television, radio, e-learning platform, mobile apps, chat platforms, and YouTube itself, and we've got the content providers that we have listed there, and the other partners who are supporting us in making this broadcasting a reality. Both platforms are streamed on television, SABC 1, as well as
Sorry?
Titi, are you okay?
Sorry, Chair. I needed to, I forgot to mute. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You can proceed, sir.
Okay. I was muted when the technical team muted everybody. Sir, can you hear me, Chair? I have unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So we use a variety of platforms to deliver this Ozametric and Trellobility. We have, as part of the advocacy, to make learners, teachers and parents aware about this service. We have developed a flyer that directs them how to access the Ozametric platform. That can be accessed through television, as I indicated, partnering with SABC as well as our own DBE channel. That can also be accessed through the DBE Cloud, which is a DBE portal, as well as provincial portals, through YouTube, through Telegram, and through WhatsApp. So we make it available on multiple platforms so that learners and parents may choose which platform they want to use, that nobody is locked out. We have also developed a schedule of broadcasts for learners to be able to know when to view on SABC1, on our OpenView channel 122, as well as on DSTV catch-up. And we are giving the portfolio committee the schedule of broadcasts for monitoring purposes, that you could actually follow what is happening in the next 2 months, August and September. We also check, using artificial intelligence, the viewership on these platforms. Some of the information, we actually get it from our partners like SABC, who indicate how many viewers for the month they've actually logged into. And when you look at the DBE channel, which is the OVHD, you see the big numbers there, 692,000 viewership as an average viewership for the month. It is a very big number, demonstrating a very positive uptake of this program. For the YouTube, we have subscribers. There are those who would register with YouTube and they would receive materials every time as subscribers. But we have those who do not subscribe but visit the site to view, and you will indicate, you will see there in the slide the numbers in terms of viewership, something that is very positive. In terms of Trellobility as well, the same thing in terms of the platforms and how to access that. I will not spend time on that. And when you look at tracking viewership, the total for the month of June, for instance, audience was in excess of 1 million on the Trellobility grade R to 11, because we are also working on ensuring that the support is not only given to the grade 12, but you also focus on the lower grade. And the numbers are very encouraging there. And the table there gives you an indication of the 4-year-olds to 10-year-olds, as well as 11-year-olds to 13-year-olds, breaking it down the age to give portfolio committee members a sense. And we are able to do this because of the analytics and the artificial intelligence that we use to aggregate this information that is coming from the platform. And the next slide gives us the schedule for Trellobility. We'll not spend time on that. One other key approach that we are using is radio, because radio reaches almost every corner of the country. And we have signed memoranda of understanding with a number of radio providers, both regional radio stations as well as community-based radio stations, who have come to the party and allocated us airtime to ensure that subject specialists are given time to deliver lessons. And this slide here is just giving portfolio committee a sense of what is happening in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape. As I indicated earlier on, Chairperson, one of the biggest inhibitors is affordability of data. And the minister working with the minister of digital technologies and communication have agreed on ensuring that we are going to zero rate educational sites. That would ensure access or accessibility by those who do not have the means to buy their own data. These sites become available free of charge, working with the mobile network operators, MTN, Cell C, ISPA, Liquid Telecom, Rain Telecom, and Vodacom. We have zero rated, as you will see in the next slide, at least about 487 educational sites. And these include schools and provincial portals, DBE portals, and other portals that are owned by individual South Africans and organizations that have requested DG to zero rate their sites so that they can support the efforts of basic education to provide content that resides on their platforms. And we are continuing, and this number is increasing, Chairperson, as we move on ensuring that we zero rate sites. However, there are challenges in that there will be one or two. Those who have been zero rated, who have promised that they will not charge anybody for this, who at the end of the day will realize that they are charging less. But our monitoring systems are very thorough in that they are picked up immediately and the zero rating of their size is terminated, working with the Department of Communication and Postal Service. But these are outliers, Chairperson. It is not something that is in general. The virtual classroom, we are piloting this new phenomenon of virtual classroom, where a good teacher in a well-resourced center or a room would be able to reach out to their learner who are at home, even when schools are closed, and they're able to deliver lessons, learners logging in into this classroom and participating in the lesson. The beauty of this is that it is not only learners who come from that school who can actually log in. Any learner who has the login details, who is in a defined kilometer radius, regardless of which school they come to, they then are able to log in. And this is going to lead us to what we are trying to build as a sector, what we call smart district, where the whole idea is to ensure that each district has a smart classroom and subject advisors and lead teachers in those districts and circuits would then be scheduled to broadcast lessons, and learners in a district will then get lessons from a top accounting teacher, a top math teacher, regardless of the school they come from, and that it will be managed at the district level. We are testing this with the mobile network operators, the solution, and once we have completed the testing, which is a pilot, we will then develop with specifications an ideal virtual classroom for the sector. The next slide would give you the design features of this mobile or virtual classroom. I will not spend time on that. But what we are reporting is that at the moment we are piloting in 17 sites across the country to ensure that we get the best solution. Mobile network operators have been given a number of schools, like Vodacom has been given six schools or six centers to test in, MTN 5, Telkom 4, Liquid Telkom 1, Rain 1. So this depends on the size of the mobile network operator. We have also provided a list of those schools that are being used for piloting purposes so that members of parliament may be able to go and monitor for themselves. If a school falls within your constituency, you may be able to go to this school to verify for yourself whether they've received these technologies and whether they are getting support from the mobile network operator to test the solution. And so we would invite honorable members to pick some of the schools to go and check what is actually happening there. The next slide tells you about the component, how it is designed, operators have given us their implementation plans, which were affected by further lockdowns that we experienced, but we are back on track on ensuring deployment of these solutions and the utilization thereof. In terms of online content resource support, we have a lot of portals, DBE websites, we have partnered with Belela, provincial e-learning portals, and many other portals that are listed in here that would give members of the portfolio committee a sense of which websites are we have posted our online content on. I will not get into each one of them. We are guiding parents on COVID guidelines, and there are many related links as well as broadcast support material that learners and teachers may utilize. This is the homepage of the Belela platform where learners can access content. There are a list of PED online content resources. We have listed Western Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape for members to be able to see that. We have partnered with Vodacom Foundation on their eSchool, the MTN Foundation and the Siyavula Foundation on their online school, as well as Telkom e-Education. This presentation gives portfolio committee members a sense of the work that we are doing to ensure that learners get support even when they are at home, and not only when they are at home, even when they are back, that they may be able to receive support using technology. This is our acknowledgement of technology and the opportunities that technology brings into the education space, and that through the leadership of the Minister and the Deputy Minister and the MECs, DG and HODs, that investment has been put into this and we are making progress. We are not saying there are no challenges, but challenges were anticipated and we are mediating them as soon as, we are mitigating them as soon as we pick them up. I would like to recommend that the Portfolio Committee knows the progress that we have made, as well as provide guidance when necessary. DG, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. We are done with the two presentations. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG. And for some moment, Mr. Tlhabane sounded like Dr. Rakomedi, you know, the voice.
Both of them are lay priests, Chair. Both of them are lay priests.
Oh, okay. Maybe that is the reason.
Wangenelo omoya, Chair, what is this?
And if he's going to respond, probably we must just see the face, because I really need now to see his face, really. It sounded like really we've got issues of metric results now with the presentation. But okay, nonetheless, can I know, chance, members, those are the presentations. The fourth quarterly report and the ICT presentation. Can I know, chance, if there are any hands or we are fine? I see Honorable Van der Walt. That's the only hand. It's fine. Can you proceed, ma? And Honorable Super.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I just have two questions for now. The one is on the last topic, is the online education, and I want to know, first of all, the presenter presented that learners would be would have available to them a top subject teacher, and if it's maths, then I suppose the top maths teacher. Can I just know what is the criteria that's going to be used for this top maths teacher or subject teacher, and who will will be appointing such a individual for the online teaching. I am also wondering whether we have been in contact with the university that is currently also launched online learning, if we took some tips from them. And then, Chairperson, I'm very keen about, I think it was more or less on slide 115, if I was written down correctly, is the issue of posts, vacancies at DBE specifically. Now, not too long ago, there was a parliamentary question which indicated several DBE positions filled with people from Cuba. I want to know, is this the time, you know, how's that relationship of appointment of vacancies with people from other countries, and whether we do have a sort of a data bank on all the experts that we have in this own our own country that could be able to fill vacancies, and are we making use of it? If not, why not? Chairperson, then I have an issue about the overseas offices that the DB briefly referred to is what we use. Can we please have more explanation on what these offices are for, where they are, and what the cost of running it per annum is? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sukar, followed by Honourable Ladwam.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the department for the presentation. I have a question around a few questions and comments, but I'll start with a question. I did not see a reference to the DBE ensuring compliance where the Protection of Personal Information Act is concerned. And in the last few weeks, the Gauteng Education Department disclosed information of over 10,000 learners. And there are breaches that occur regularly. So what plans does the DBE have to become FOPI compliant? And how is it guiding the provinces on FOPI compliance? And then in terms of infrastructure, Chair, 628 million from the school infrastructure backlog grant was allocated to the education infrastructure grant to assist Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal and Northern Cape provinces whose infrastructure budgets were under pressure due to the unextended spending on COVID-19 measures. What is the progress in recovering the irregular expenditure on COVID measures? Much of it happened in these provinces. How far is the DBE in ensuring the recovery occurs, Chair? Then, in terms of the ASIDI, which for me, Chair, it was horrible to visit KZN and see the toilets that our girls need to use. And so I just want to ask if we could get an update on ASIDI, specifically as it comes to those provinces, such as KZN that we visited, because of what we saw with the historic, the older schools, and how infrastructure in those schools look like. The DG indicated in 2019, and he gave us an update on a question on a similar question that I'm going to pose now, when it comes to a city where some monies were recovered. I cannot remember how much he indicated last year, but the amount of irregular expenditure of 240 million, a commitment was made to this committee where a city was concerned that those monies would be recovered. If the DG could give us an indication how far they are in progress with that. Then on the issue of teen and preteen pregnancies, I want to ask, in terms of research, as what research has the DBE done into the causes of teen and preteen pregnancies, and what research is the DBE planning in that regard? And also, with who is the DBE going to engage on this vital national issue? I heard the minister say that it is an issue that needs to be addressed again by Parliament, and I assume within the portfolio committee. And I want to support that, that we need to have a conversation around the reports that has been coming out on preteen pregnancies. And on the ground, we can see the impact of that. I did oversight last week with in clinics where nurses told me that the amount of preteens that are coming to book, and this was before the report. So we need to address it, Chair, and we cannot address it in isolation. We need to recognize, and I think I will underline that, the reason why there was an uproar around CSE is because of the manner of engagement the DBE did, and the fact that we are circumventing the rights of parents. I would add that as a comment. So I will not go into detail around CSE, but I do want to emphasize the need for us to engage on it. We can say a lot about what the department did give us as research when they motivated for CSE, and when they, within that engagement, they over and over said to us that CSE has been in our schools in 2000. So the research results certainly now on the ground is showing us how successful that program is. And we can debate with how much of the scripted lesson plan last year was actually presented to schools. Those are my questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me also join the queue and appreciate the all the reports that we received, the progress that has been made by the department, both on the ICT and their performance in general. Chair, let me congratulate also the department for their best performance ever, as mentioned by DD of the fourth quarter. But my worry is whether are you going to maintain that DG? But we wish you all the best. Chair, on the issue of the vacant post, I would want to focus on the teachers. Posts that are vacant. What impact is it making, you know, on the you know, teaching and learning? Because we understand that many teachers have lost their life, almost like more than 2,000, if I'm not mistaken. May their souls rest in peace. But what is the, you know, what is the impact, and how is it going to affect, you know, the progress that the DG has just reported on, come the next year. Number two is what I've been, you know, seeing or observing on the report is that there's overspending of some sort on goods and services. If maybe that can be explained, what are those goods and services? There's a report where I saw a slide where there's more than 200% on goods and services. If maybe it can be explained which or what kind of goods and services are those ones, and what is the impact on the budget? You know, where was the money or sourced from? For those goods to, or the overspending of those goods and services. On the second presentation, Chair, is on the ICT progress that we have received, the online programs that are there. We really appreciate them. We also, you know, at some point when we have time, watch them, even those ones on TV. And some of the schools, mainly in Gauteng and Western Cape, that are also having those smart classrooms and using the online lessons. My question also is around the issue of, you know, safeguarding those assets, as we saw that it is an organized crime or criminals that are targeting such infrastructure. what is the plan on making sure that those gadgets and infrastructure has been secured and are safe. But lastly, it's on the comment that the minister has made on the issue of teenage pregnancy. I think it's something that we really need to have a serious discussion on. And I will also propose that we have a special meeting where we can discuss thoroughly and find solutions on how are we going to address these matters. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me pause there.
Honorable Nodata, followed by Honorable Masabela.
Thank you so much, Chair. My audible, Chair?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning to everybody. Thanks for the presentations from the department. I just wanted to start with maybe the Minister's remarks, Chair. I would have, liked to request you, Minister, as well, as much as you made remarks that are outside of the reports that we received today, maybe to make a comment or an indication or take us into confidence about, the department's intention of prescribing the school holiday that's upcoming. And, what the rationale was around that, as much as, you're taking us into confidence, with other things. And I think the issue of teenage pregnancy is a matter that needs to be discussed, thoroughly and what, possible lasting solutions are. Moving forward, because it's also a high contributor to the dropout rate, that we constantly speak about in school. So I just wanted to maybe make those particular comments and maybe request the Minister to take us into confidence about that. Then to the presentations, Chair, I'll start with the one on the quarterly report. I think in a couple of meetings back, if not six or seven meetings back, I had indicated that there's a school called Masinagane Special School. It's located in Loding, in Mpumalanga, that has converted classrooms into a hostel. We recently also visited a school called Golden Step, which is a special school in the Pinetown district in KZN. These particular schools have issues in terms of making sure that there are enough psychiatrists on site, physicians, social workers, and so on, and the necessary equipment that they need. They've got challenges in some of these schools. But I see that the LISPD grant, has been underspent. Can you maybe take us into confidence as to what happened there? What is the plan to make sure that we equip those schools with the necessary equipment that they need and the support that they need so that we make sure that we fully spend the grant that is allocated to them? Secondly, slide 66 indicates that there are teacher posts that are not being filled. What are the reasons, for this, considering the fact that there are so many graduates, there are teachers that have gone through, training at schools and so on, that are currently not employed, and considering the fact that, we know that we've got a lot of teachers that have been lost, but what is, the delay in terms of filling those particular posts, and what's the plan regarding it? Slide 72, there seems to be, a lot, of reason used, of COVID in terms of the poor monitoring of, these contractors, that have been inadequately hired. And I wanted to check, Mandiji, because this is a problem, and I've also indicated the thing that, when we do allocate or employ people through tenders, to perform a particular service for the department, they must do so, cost-effectively, thoroughly, and within the time frames and ambits that they're given, but most importantly, the quality that they need to produce. And, the target was that, there was, the target was 600, and only 200, have been completed. So what plans are being put in place? adequate sanitation in schools is a crucial issue. And you know, recently you would have seen in the news there was a full segment about sanitation in schools. Looking at the past learners that have passed away in pit toilets, like Michael Koma Abilum, and so on. And it's a massive issue, particularly in the Eastern Cape case in Limpopo. So I wanted to check in terms of, what is the plan, that has been put in place to catch up on the infrastructure backlog based on the reason that has been given, that it's been COVID, that's the reason why we couldn't, reach the target of 600. Also, with reference to slide 72, what consequences are being implemented for implementing agents who fail miserably to reach their target? And I think the only solution, I've previously also put on the table is that they completely be struck off the roll. They're not being used anymore because ultimately, they're the ones that create more costs. Because, somebody comes and says, no, I can do this thing in X amount of time. And then in the middle of the way, they say, okay, I can no longer do this. Then you must find somebody else who's going to make their own additional cost. And ultimately, then the end product of the whole construction or the infrastructure that was supposed to be built or done is then, ridiculously inflated because of contractors who can't meet their end of the bargain. So what consequences are given to those who are responsible for monitoring these projects who don't, do so or fail to do that in the department? Then lastly, to the department, slide 95. What plans have been put in place, to prevent the leaking of papers this year, like we saw in the last year? I heard the minister indicating that, in our previous report, we must indicate that the DBE must do something. The report must be structured as DBE and provinces. Understandably so, there's a particular mandate that the Department of Education has at a national level, and provincial departments have their own mandate. And, the responsibility of the minister and the department is to play oversight role in ensuring that the provinces actually do, their job. So I wanted to check in terms of what are the plans that have been put in place in preventing the leaking of papers. Then coming to the last presentation, Chair, with regards to the broadcasting strategies to get the curriculum to the learners, how does the department actually measure the effectiveness? These type of methods obviously don't allow for the learners to engage or ask questions, which plays a major role in successful learning. So do we have, success stories of many, using the broadcasting facilities to pass the matric exams? And what are the costs of online broadcasting? If those three things can be answered, the effectiveness, success, how do you measure the success and the cost? And I think, the recommendation also, maybe I can be guided better. But, along with online broadcasting, if it is not done so already, I think it would be important to deliver lessons or coursework to learners via CDs or USBs or email where they can download it and replay the lesson. This is in addition to cloud access, just in case the learner does not have, internet at home, because we've got those challenges. Even where I come from, there's no internet in the rural areas there. So, I think this would help if it's not already done so, but obviously the DG and the team will guide on that. And obviously to collaborate with internet stores nationwide to allow for learners to use these facilities, to access this material, I don't know if there's been, any form of engagement with internet stores, nationwide on how to access, for learners to access these facilities so that they'll be able to use these things and maybe at a particular cost. Then number two is what measures have been put in place to accommodate those learners who do not have access to the internet as per the presentation. Thirdly, in addition to virtual classrooms, has the department considered developing online high schools similar to the one in UCT that has recently been announced? And I've also seen some other schools that are privately run, announcing online schooling. And I think that's also a mechanism for those, that can be able to access that, then alleviate the pressure on physical schooling, in some areas, which will allow, learners that don't have access to internet and so on to be able to access, schooling in those areas that those who have online learning, can access and no longer be a burden to the schooling system, but rather online. like to, on this particular point, recommend that the department create an online or homeschooling policy that can, one, ensure, you know, that those learners at home follow the correct curriculum and learning criteria, as well as for ways to ensure quality learning standards and outcomes are reached. There's a need for developing the online space, and I think this is an opportunity that we have maybe to engage even UCT to come and present to us as to how do they go about doing this, and how can it actually help the department in making sure that we cover as much as we can and alleviate the pressure on physical going, you know, of school because we've got infrastructural problems. Number four, has the department conducted an international best practice research on delivering class online, and what is the most effective mechanism in developing countries so that we can be able to tailor-make it to our own niche space? And lastly, Chair, what measures have been put in place to accommodate learners with learning or physical disabilities on how to, you know, on, for them to make sure that they have access to these platforms? And how accessible are these platforms for those that are disabled? I think those are my questions, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Honorable Masabela? Honorable Masabela? She's not here. She's not available.
She is trying to, I can see that she's trying to speak, but I think we have a problem with her connectivity.
Okay, let me quickly budge in so long whilst we are,
yeah,
whilst we are waiting for her. I think I must join the members as well to commending the department for this, for the report, the fourth quarterly report. As outlined, is the best report ever. I think we must commend the fact that you have managed beyond the circumstances to use your finances. Because I see the other expenditure is actually 2%, which it's not bad. But I must say that I'm not happy that the learners with severe to profound intellectual disability, there was under expenditure for them. I think it's something that whoever that is working on that program, can you mute her, Llewellyn, till I'm done? I'll give her the opportunity.
I'm not seeing her on the platform, but I can hear her. I'm trying. Let me mute.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I think I must raise that concern. There's a reason they are called special children, and I think they need to be treated as such. So we need to make sure that we use the finances that are meant for children with disabilities, because they need devices on a daily basis. And in my view, I can't justify, and I really can't expect anybody to justify why is the finances that are meant for them are underutilized. And then the second issue that I want to raise is that in the report, you are mentioning that due to COVID-19 national lockdown, the construction work, which is a city to be specific, was prohibited. But in the same report, you allude that due to poor management of contractors by the implementing agent, the results of contractors were in low output. So what is what? What happened? Have you managed to do some work or not? Or because of lockdown, there was nothing that was happened to, as far as the city is concerned. The third issue that I want to raise is, what measures are in place to improve the inadequate monitoring at all levels?
particularly the fast tracking of completing of the ACD project. And then under the underperforming schools, in that quarter specific, you are saying you visited at least, you managed to visit 13.6% while you were supposed to visit 75%. I understand at my level that one would not, under the circumstances of COVID-19, attend to the schools. But DG, we see you as the Director General of the department moving up and down in all provinces, which at a personal level, myself, I commend you for doing that, because your reasoning in terms of how you allocate whatever speaks to what you have seen. But then if you are targeting 75% of visiting district, which is district officials visiting schools for monitoring purposes, and if you as a leader of the department is managing to do it, it can be then difficult for any other officials, because in my view, you are leading by example. We see you on your platforms, on social media, even on our meetings, you will get to be disturbed because you are there, far and far, doing work, which is commendable. But it can't be you alone doing it. You need to get to a point where everybody understands. Ndatekuno, as the CFO of the department, should be able to understand as well, but I allocate this money based on these reasons that I have seen. So as much as it is recommended from the Director General of the department, but everybody must get to a level where we all go and see what is happening on the ground, and we allocate finances based on what we have seen. On page 92, there is a mention on the analysis of the analysis of 2021-2022 annual performance plan was compiled and sent to PEP so that they could improve their financial APP. Now, you are doing your own program of APP. And that is my understanding, and PEPs are also doing they are also doing theirs in their provinces. So if you are saying here that you needed to improve their financial APP, what is it that was actually a problem with their financial APP in provinces, or were they particular provinces that you wanted to improve, for all the provinces in general? And for interest sake, can you then send us the APPs from provinces in order for us to get also an understanding of their planning progress and challenges? Because it has to align to yourself, as much as they are different, having their own different programs in province. And then for interest sake, in terms of the examination papers, which normally they are 3-hour papers for matric, how does it go then to children that are blind and deaf? Are they also allocated 3 hours to write? And if not, how many are they allocated? Because in my view, they are blind, they are deaf, and they can't be treated like me and you, who is able to do a because even children, our own children, that are given 3 hours, who don't have any disability, cannot. Sometimes they don't finish in 3 hours. And then can we begin then? Just a status report on the National Investigation Task Team that you established
after the leaking of papers last year. I think not that I raised it. I'm not sure if I'm following him as well. But can you just give us a status report on what is happening with regards to that investigation team? Are they finding any fruit on the ground? Or, I mean, are they finding any fruits on the investigations they are raising? The last thing which I want to raise, which I think the minister as well touched into, it. Last week we had a presentation on the gender-based violence, and I think we came to an agreement as well that actually this thing is a pandemic as well. And immediately after our meeting, then there was there in the hospital in the Eastern Cape, chopped by a boyfriend into pieces, the hands there, the head there, you know, and put it into a suitcase. But also there is a problem of a 10-year child who was raped. We are really living in very mad and bad times that probably needs serious prayer for all of us. But the department has got the Adolescent Girls and Young Women program, which you are having in terms of for you to try to tag and or rather educate our people. How effective this program is? Does it touch lives? Do you have people that can say or that you can say through the program that managed to assist the department? To what extent is the effectiveness of the this program? So that is those are the questions from my side. Are we getting Mama Sabela?
No, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. So, Chair, I'm just having a few issues here. The first one is on the issue of teacher vacancies. In terms of teacher vacancies, we have been we've seen growing complaints from teachers with post-graduate certificate in education, saying that they are being denied an opportunity to be employed in school. So what is happening in that regard? And again, Chair, how many of the total number of district directors are women? And what empowerment programs are there for them, seeing that most of the delivery of education happens at that level? Then the last issue, Chair, do you have a reliable data in terms of learner dropout for the period under review? No, thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much to members. I'll ask the department to respond. Minister has indicated to me that she needs to leave around 12, so I think it will be good that you probably give her to respond first, and then we'll hand over to DMDG as it will go. Thank you very much, Minister.
So thank you very much, Chair, for giving me the permission. I'll reconnect at about 10 past 12 when I'm in the car to make sure that I don't lose on anything. And I won't try to answer everything, Chair. Some of the matters will be responded to by DG and officials, but I just want to pick up a few of them. There was a question about offices that we are renting outside. Members should be aware that as DBE, we lead the government's UNESCO delegation. So we are the host. We're hosting, we lead higher education, science and technology, arts and culture. So as the lead department, we then supposed to even run an office on behalf of the country. So those will be the international, one of the international obligations that we have as a department, as a lead department in UNESCO. And that will be, those will be the offices that we lead on behalf of government, and not only the department. And then on the Cuban post, Chair, the Cuban professors that are here or experts are here to support us in our work to support provinces on maths teaching. So they're not employed as teachers. They are there, so they're not teaching the classroom. They're supporting our educators and our teachers who are teaching maths and science. Because we did also realize that when we're doing our maths monitoring, that there's need also to support the very teachers who are teaching maths and science. So those are, we call them Cuban experts. And I think there's only 20 of them, but we can give full reports. There are also, I think, even what Member Mashabela has raised also about the employment of teachers. Basically, Chair, we monitor and report on what provinces are. The provinces are the employers of teachers and district directors. So we can tell you how many posts are vacant, but the people who finally have to employ is the provinces. So it's the, and that's where the difficulty. So we can report to you, but we can't say we'll do the follow-up because we don't have the power and the right to employ teachers on behalf of provinces. But we can also interact with them, nudge them, and they can give us whatever reasons to say their budgets don't allow for it, because it's matters which are a provincial competency run through a provincial a budget. There was also, I think, a question, Chair, which was about infrastructure in provinces. I think it was raised by Member Sukes. Again, Chair, without hiding behind provincial competences and other things, UNM is in the province. Funds voted at a provincial level get accounted for at a provincial level. That's why there's a portfolio committee at a provincial level to monitor, to support, and report on budgeted resources. So if there's TTE which the province has used, we can report that our department in this province has used so much money. But that's the money which was voted at a provincial level, gets reported for at a provincial level. If it has to be, if they're supposed to be recovering, they have to be done at a provincial level, because it will be funds that don't fall under our responsibility and competences. And I think it's always very helpful to remind ourselves about how this system functions between, with the concurrencies between the national and provincial. Same with infrastructure. As a national department, we're not an implementing structure. We only were given responsibility for two specific projects, which is ASCIDI, and ASCIDI is not doing everything else around infrastructure. ASCIDI was designed to do math schools. So as soon as the list that we're given by province is exhausted, our mandate stops there. Anything else which is not a math school, which was not in the list that we're given by national, will be a provincial responsibility. And I know what Member is saying, and it is a big problem, that you go to, especially to your old schools, which were private education schools, there are no libraries, there's nothing, there are no labs, the infrastructure is falling apart. Again, the funds for infrastructure, unless they are, as I said, identified or ring-fenced infrastructure, they belong to provinces and accounted for at the provincial level. Chair, I'm very happy that you are talking about teen pregnancy, gender violence, because you see, I'm not even raising it possibly as maybe ANC and other things. I think it's a national matter that wherever we are, where we have the platform, we have to address this issue. It is a serious problem. And it's not a problem that can be dealt with, from my own understanding, by one sector. You know, Chair, I was in a province about 5 years back, and they really, there was a huge outcry after I gave an answer, because they kept on asking me what I bring teenage pregnancy. And I'm saying to them, actually, I should be asking committees, why are they sending pregnant children to school? Because the likelihood that these kids fell pregnant in communities. You know, in schools, it's an open space. It's unlikely that whatever problems happened could not have happened in school. It happened in communities. So that all of us have responsibilities, and we have to account for what our responsibilities are. We accept that as the national department or as an education department, our responsibility is about educating, conscientizing people, our children, and making sure that they can look after themselves from knowledge. Because the member is right that when we were interviewing children who fell pregnant through school to say, happen. And this kid will always say, if I knew better, I would not have fell into this trouble. So it means all of us have this problem, because it is a national, it is a real scandal. We're communicating with members from DA around the 10 to say, it's more than rape, more than statutory rape. It's absolute cruelty to go and impregnate a 10-year-old. It's just unthinkable. So I'm saying we have to really get to it. The member also wanted to know about consultations, and maybe again when we discuss, we will agree what is it that we are expected to consult on around curriculum. Because when we talk about bullying, I've never heard anybody say, yeah, you're talking about bullying, not consulted as a parent. When you talk about healthy lifestyle, we are never accused to say, put the question about healthy eating in the curriculum, you have not consulted us. Maybe sexuality is a different one, and it is perhaps a holy exercise which brings about life and brings human beings. Maybe we should really consult more, but I think we need to also say at which stage do we consult on curriculum matters as a department outside the normal consultation processes which we do in public. So when we have a curriculum issue published, to say we're going to add the following, let people comment. But perhaps sex, so we have to do differently. I'm prepared to be guided. The last one also, remember not that, this concept of confidentiality. So Namge, in the spirit of confidentiality, yes, we are not scrapping holidays. ODG reported that we've lost lots of time. If you recall, January we lost lots of days, and had said we will alter the curriculum to make sure that we still have the full number of days that we're supposed to be teaching in. And again, if you remember, with the second wave that DG explained, we also lost a week because we were forced to close early. So what we've also committed ourselves as a department was that we're going to look for days in the remaining days to compensate for lost days. So it's not scrapping really. I think it's our effort to recover the days that we have lost because of the problems that came with COVID-19. So I spoke about provinces being employers and then how many posts and other things. And also e-recovery plan. DM will speak more about the recovery plan, because indeed after we recover, we discovered with DM that we are falling behind. UDM as the leader in infrastructure chair had to convene weekly meetings every Friday at 7 o'clock. I can tell you even this Friday we are going to be at a meeting, but she'll speak more about what is that we put in place to make sure that indeed we recover in that area. On homeschooling again, remember not that said this is what we could do. Indeed, I mean there's always efforts to try and improve our delivery, and because of COVID-19, take advantage of the fact that there's now room for innovation, there's room for different thinking, there's room for different delivery. And all the matters that he raised are issues that are in the basket to say, now that there's this new environment which is demanding a different delivery model, what is it that we do? We have been briefed by the Western Cape team that is working on the ICT schools, but can I show you, member, there's a member who said that these expert teachers, where do you take from? We always have them. I mean, members should remember, even on TV, even SABC itself would have master teachers teaching those classes. So those are a fool in the system. It's not that you even have to go and look for them. When we run, for instance, your winter schools, we pick up the best teachers in the system. It's not every teacher will go and run an extra school or extra classes. So we use those teachers that we know in the system, the ones that get awards all the time, but the ones that are known by the education committee, that teacher so-and-so, when it comes to math, they give you 100% passes because of the following methodologies. So we don't even have to advertise for them. We know them in the system. And we pick those up from the system itself to say, this school has a master teacher who is known. Some of them we even use as trainers to go and train some of our weaker teachers in our developmental program. So it's not anything that is not there in the system, something that is always there. And I agree, I think again they'll speak about special education. education special learners, and can assure you that for special learners, especially with exams, there's always special dispensation. They apply. There's a whole process. What could be a process, especially those with mild disabilities, because that, those are the ones that sometimes find it difficult to come through, because we need legally an evidence to say this child has, you know, is dyslexic. At least dyslexia is not even a mild, because we will know that, but the children find that they're very slow by nature. Instead of being given 3 hours, they're supposed to be given 4 hours. There's a whole dispensation around the exam systems about how to deal with special needs and special needs education in the system. So, Chair, with your permission, if I can leave now, then I'll reconnect in the next 5 minutes when I'm in the car. But thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Ma. DM, would you...
No, Chair, allow the officers to come in.
Oh, okay. DG is fine, then you can respond.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and Honorable Members. I need to profusely apologize, Chair, that earlier on when we presented, I did not mute, and when I was dealing with activities in the office, it gave an impression that I needed help. I'm safe and sound. I'm fine, Chair. Thank you very much. I also want to thank honorable members for all the comments and questions that they have raised and the appreciation and thanks that they have conveyed. We really appreciate it. We do all of these things. We sacrifice in the main because we have to do it. We are privileged as public servants to be holding the positions that we are in. And apart from that, we don't want to disappoint you. We don't want to come before you and we don't know how to account and present what is acceptable before you. So thank you very much. Honorable van der Waals, for top teachers, the minister explained, it's about an impeccable track record of performance. Impeccable track record of performance. Not just experience. The record must say that in math, you've been able to produce people at this level. For instance, for Maka, depending on how the province is performing, if it's a low-performing province, you generally don't take any teacher to teach and mark below 60% track record of performance. In performing province, the bar would have been raised up to even 80%. If we have to expose children of the nation, the whole nation to you, the bar would be even higher. If you have to be a master teacher teaching on TV, like the minister said on radio, we raise the bar even higher. And it's not just once by, you know, by chance and so on. We look at, even for markers, a minimum of 3 years of performance in grade 12, an impeccable track record of performance. So that's what informs, that's the criteria for selection. And then contact with the university, in fact, even before UCT launched, they met with us. Professor Mamuketi, we worked very closely with her. She chairs some of our teams that are dealing with math in particular. And she shared the idea with us, and we said, go for it. Then Minister and Deputy Minister met with her, and then she explained, and the Minister was invited even to the launch of on the online schooling. And that's not the first online schooling. There are a myriad of the private schools that are running online schools all over the country. You do have them. But Honorable Nodada is right. What has been missing is the policy and the regulation dispensation, which Mr. Tabani and Telkom team, the capable Telkom team, which has been made available by the outgoing CEO, Mr. Maseko, have been working with Mr. Tabani and the team to develop regulations and policies. And Honorable Nodara is absolutely right. Those who want to opt for online could then ease the pressure from, you know, your traditional schools, where we could make space available for other learners whose parents would want to go to school. So we're working on that. We've been working on that for about a year now. We are about to conclude it. I received a report about a month ago on the framework and areas that are going to inform policy and regulations. So very soon we'll be done with that. Vacancies at DVE, as indicated, because the employees that we have are sought out, are sought after rather, not sought out, sought after elsewhere, but they also apply. And then posts become vacant. Others apply for promotion in the department, others apply for promotions outside the department. If you go to many departments, even the DG of Sports, Arts and Culture comes from education, many of them, including the former DG of Treasury, Lungi Safuzile, came from education. So many of them would apply for posts elsewhere, and of course they will leave us with many vacancies. DBE, people from Cuba occupying posts, no, this is an agreement. I mean, this is an old age agreement that has been there between South Africa and Cuba on math and science experts from Cuba. And that is a group that is regulated differently, if not necessarily placed on our organogram. These are people who are helping subject advisors. They are experts in math and science. You don't find them. In the database of graduates, we don't have them. Otherwise, wouldn't have gone to Cuba to continue this arrangement with Cuba. They have subject advisors. They have curriculum. They work with a curriculum specialist at national level, at provincial level. They also help to support teachers at school level. They are not teachers. They are math and science experts from Cuba. And we have that memorandum of agreement signed between us and Cuba regulating this arrangement. Overseas office, we are hosting UNESCO for the Republic of South Africa. For all the departments that are here in South Africa, UNESCO is hosted by the Department of Basic Education. We've got an office in Paris, in France, where activities of UNESCO for the country are running. And the department that has been nominated to do that is the Department of Education. It's been running for years when the two departments were still together. And that's the office that I'm talking about. We can get you the cost of running, of paying the rent and so on for that office. But it's for the country, it's not only for DBE. Sports, Arts and Culture, when they go and carry out UNESCO activity, is done by Basic Education. It's only one department that is chosen to do. In other countries, it's a function that sits on its own. It reports to the presidency. In South Africa, it's in Basic Education, UNESCO. And then, Honorable Sukers, the minister explained that these other responsibilities, especially of ensuring compliance with legislation and so on, except for policies that relate to basic education per se, we are monitoring compliance on those. In terms of others, they've got their own accounting officers. They have to appoint information officers, and they have to make sure that they comply with the POPI Act. It's their responsibility to do so. My responsibility is to make sure that we at DBE comply. Every employee complies here in the Department of Education. Provinces have got their own accounting officers who have to ensure that they comply. How are we guiding provinces? So I've dealt with that one. 600 million was for emergency sanitation and water for Eastern Cape, for KZN,
and Limpopo. Out of that 600 million, the last information that I had is that we were able to use through rent water 74 million. The other portion that we paid for potable sanitation, or I think we can get that information and make it available. So that's the 600 million that we talked to the committee about. It was for emergency sanitation and water to get schools ready to be able to reopen after lockdown. Progress in recovering irregular expenditure, we can get that information for you. We'll make it available. What I recall is that the Karikude one, we have recovered fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well as irregular expenditure. And I think there's quite an amount that I think we also recovered, probably in the region of about 500, if not 60 million, not 500 or 50. Okay, and then the update on ACIDI, especially KZN, the minister addressed this. Infrastructure delivery is the responsibility of provinces. It's part of the concurrent functions. Concurrent functions would say, national, you are responsible for this, province, you are responsible for this. Infrastructure delivery, although we are doing it through ACIDI, it's just to support provinces. It's not a national function. It's a provincial function. Progress in recovering money, will make that available to you, as I said. Research on teenage pregnancy. We do research, but we also work with universities and other agencies that are doing research on these matters. Probably Dr. Whittle, because that's the relevant line function manager, could tell us who they've worked with in terms of research around learner pregnancy. I know that there is work that they've done which they continue to go. Comprehensive sexuality education. Honorable Sukar, I know that you hold very strong views. So I think Minister adequately commented on this matter. Would you please allow me just to leave it at that? So I think going forward, ongoing debates and discussions can continue on these matters, but I respect your views and I know that you hold very strong views around these matters. Honorable Aduns, thank you for appreciation of the progress, and many of you have been serving in this committee for some time. I really challenge you to compare the performance of the fourth quarterly report with previous years. And you'll honestly get what I am saying. And I'm sure Charles Dickens will confirm it by saying it was the best of times. It was also the worst of times. Vacant posts, teacher vacant posts. Well, what is permissible under an ideal situation, for instance, you would have, 10% vacancy level because of attrition, because of retirement and all of those things, people not being able to fill the post as quickly as they should. We allow for a maximum of 10%, which is a reasonable percentage in terms of the expected and so on. But if it's bigger than that, then there's a problem. But there are a number of factors, for instance, in KZN, that are attributable to this. KZN is under serious financial stress, particularly in terms of the salary bill. And we are meeting with Treasury on the 26th. We'll be looking at these matters to demonstrate to them what the impact of the budget cuts are, even in terms of the filling of teaching posts. In some provinces are almost on their knees. They are about to collapse. If something is not done about this, I think teaching and learning is definitely going to collapse. And we are meeting with Treasury on the 26th, and we'll be talking about these matters. The impact of this on teaching, it is there. It is there. You pick it up as you analyze the results. You can get it at school level. Some of us, we interact even with schools. Schools are able to tell you that, look, in math or physical science, the reason why we got this percentage
or the overall fundraise is because we didn't have this teacher and that teacher and this teacher. We couldn't get them. But we are working with provinces throughout to address these issues of getting posts filled, particularly at school level. Overspending goods and services, we did indicate that it was emergency water and sanitation. That's the explanation. That is the Honorable Adunz. The impact on the budget, well, we were able to take this from EIG. And then there was an issue about online programs, and I think Mr. Tabani will probably come in and explain if there's anything that needs more explanation there. We're learning, we've got a team working with Mr. Tabani. They've been doing desktop research, in other words, comparing what is happening in other countries from, you know, getting information from internet and so on. Online learning is not as effective as face-to-face learning. Its results are very low, even in first world countries. And that's why some people think that online learning is the silver bullet. They don't know. I mean, there's a report also which was published by, I've forgotten the name of the organization, around issues of online learning and the use of ICT and so on. And I think I'll think about it as I continue to respond. So that report is very clear that the results of online learning don't look good at all. Whoever is maybe thinking that online learning, particularly for schools, maybe for universities, because learners are already independent there, for lower grades, even worse. Safeguarding ICT gadgets and equipment in schools, well, what the minister said, provinces which are able to afford even deploying security personnel are doing that, but in the main, provinces are really not able to do that. But you know that what the policy position of government is in terms of safeguarding assets and so on, it's more expensive for government to cover assets by insurance, and therefore government doesn't cover assets. But I think, I'm not sure whether there'll be a rethinking around that, given the rate at which we've lost valuable assets, especially with the recent unrest. Maybe there might be a rethinking. I haven't heard anything around that. And then, Honorable Nodada, the minister told you that not everything that is in the media is true. I know that Sunday Times talked about scrapping the school holidays. There's nothing like that. CM has not even taken a final decision on this matter. What is available is recommendations from HEDCOM, which are going to CM. So CM has not even deliberated on the matter. It will probably meet in one of these days to decide on what's going to happen there. And learner pregnancy, I think everybody agrees that there's a need for a dedicated meeting for that, including domestic violence. The Masina Kane, I've written it as Masina Kane Special School, classes converted into hostels. We'll have to go and check what is happening there, because that shouldn't be happening. And the issue of other special schools, learners with severe and intellectual disabilities. Now, Honorable Chair, with the greatest respect, if the very learners that the budget says these are the activities that they need to be taken through in terms of the grant, these learners are not available. And by the way, some of the parents have not even released these learners to date. And these are not just learners with, as Minister said, that's why it's called learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities. And I'm sure these are some of the learners that you find even in hospitals. some of the learners you find in schools where they require a very extensive attention around them. And that's why the grant could not be spent, because the learners were not there. That's the main reason why. It's not that officials did not really do their work because, you know, of something else. And then teacher posts that are not filled, I've spoken to that. Reasons for COVID. Now, I think we tend to be advised by the committee. You've got the ministry that holds us to account every week. We go out to construction sites. I only come to the office Monday and Tuesday. The rest of the day with the team, we are out to construction sites. And because of that, we got regional managers of implementing agents, some of them dismissed. We got project managers dismissed. You got their PSPs. PSPs are their, your quantity surveyors, your engineers. Some of them dismissed, and some of them even reported to their bodies where they register and so on. What else can we do? Because as Honorable Nodada correctly pointed out, we have limited implementing agents. Those that do not perform, we don't allocate projects to them. We don't. IDT is one of them. We don't allocate projects to them because they don't perform. And there are very few. There are about 10 of them in the whole country that are serving us. But contractors, we've had contractors and contracts terminated. Mr. Van der Westhuizen and the team are now prioritizing penalties. Because in terms of what is called JBCC contract, there are penalties that should be imposed. But as Honorable Van der Waal a while ago indicated, we are going to finish them. We are definitely going to finish them. At the end of the day, we'll have no one to build schools for us. Because we are getting rid of them. Some we're reporting them to Treasury to blacklist them. They won't be doing business with us. So it's a double-edged sword, but we are doing that. We are doing our best, and that's why the performance might not be excellent, but you'd never get it in our history, having brought it to the level that it is now, especially in other areas other than sanitation. But we are raising the focus on sanitation. For this financial year, I put my head on the block. You're going to see something drastically different from what we've reported on here. What plans are in place to catch up for infrastructure? Well, we are monitoring. We've got work plans that are signed with them. And as I said, I've never done this before. I started from March this year, from February, sorry, going on site every week. And every week we discover something. And every week there's drama. Somebody has got to pick and go for something of that nature. So it's consequences against implementing agents and contractors. And then slide number 95, plans to avoid leakage of papers. Yo, this one is a difficult one, Honorable Nodada. You know, we can do what human beings are able to do. The difficult area to penetrate is the conscience of human beings. Conscience of human beings. That's the difficult one. You can put the best ICT cameras in the offices and so on, but because of the human element of this, we wouldn't like it to happen. We had a couple of years where we didn't have leaks of papers. But unfortunately, it does happen. It happens in France, it happens in Malawi, consequences were meted out. My view is that every time we review our systems, we try and come up with new measures, and I hope that we'll reach a point where this does not happen at all anymore. The use of CDs and other forms, we do that, we call it flip the classroom. You're able to give, you know, offline content if learners do not have access to online content. We don't do make provision for that. Mr. Kavani can indicate, I'm not aware of any collaboration with internet either internet stores nationwide. I'm not aware of that. Measures to accommodate learners with disabilities. We do that in terms of the devices that we have provided in their schools, but beyond their schools, that's why we need them in schools, then it becomes a difficulty. That's what learners with special education needs. And in fact, and Mr. Kavani can attest to this, I think we should have covered all schools for learners with special education needs so far in terms of connectivity and the devices that they need. And maybe honorable members could visit some of the schools and look at what we have put in there. Efforts to establish online school, I've responded to that. Develop an online policy, I've dealt with that. Research on online classes, I've indicated that as a team, doing that. Measures to accommodate learners with special education, I've also addressed that. Chair, you probably, the last one, then, Honorable Mashabela. Thank you for commending us. I've explained the issue of LSPID. Construction is a combination of all of those things. In some cases, there's a reality that there was no activity on construction site because there was lockdown, which we all know about. But the other issue is poor management of contractors, which we are dealing with. And I've talked about imposing penalties and so on. And we compile even reports that we give to this implementing agent every time we come from site. Contractors and COVID-19, I've explained that. In fact, some, we've gotten them to even have two shifts because social distancing has got to be observed also on construction site. If you have to work with maybe 10 bricklayers, you have to reduce them to about 5 or 4. And that's going to reduce the speed at which you finish your piece. That's the logic of this, of the impact of COVID-19 and its protocols. Underperforming schools, I agree with you, Chair. We'll do our best to encourage everyone now that they've been inoculated. I think more and more of us will be willing to go out to schools and monitor. I couldn't just imagine that we say that teachers must leave their homes and teach, and we can't go out and monitor. So I think we take our example from the minister and deputy minister where we do this as well. But thank you for the compliments. What needs to be improved with PED, APPs, in the main is sector indicators, because some of them do not include sector indicators. And I think we did report to you about, including the AG, when they reported last time, they did indicate that there are some of the sector indicators that some provinces do not include. So in the main, it's about that. And I'm sure copies of their APPs can be shared with you. Exam papers, yes, we've got a policy called accommodation and compensation. Not only learners with disabilities. What might not be a learner with disability, a learner who writes slow, such a learner should be given more time. You apply for that, you get assessed. We do have a policy that provides for that. And you can even get a scribe if you write slow. You get somebody who can be paid to write for you, and then you're able to sit for the exam. We have such learners who wrote through scribes. When they reach university, because human beings blossom at different stages of their lives, they just beat everybody at university and they are able to perform better than everybody. So we do have the accommodation and compensation policy for learners, for all learners who need that. And then status report on the national task team that investigated the two papers. We'll look at that, we'll interact with your office. The young girl program, how effective is this? I think Dr. Whittle can assist here. And Honorable Mashabela, teacher vacancies, I think I've tried to address that. The minister addressed the issue of how many district directors are women, the capacity building programs for them, reliability of data of learner dropout for a period under review. We can give you what comes from the research that has been done by Dr. Stephen Taylor, who is the head of the research in the department. Thank you, DM, and thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you. Dr. Whittle?
Thank you very much, DG. Just in terms of the research that Honorable Sukas referred to, we did a comprehensive study a few years ago on teen pregnancy, also identifying the factors that lead to teen pregnancy. It was conducted by the Human Sciences Research Council. That report is available, and I'm sure that we could find a copy and share with the Honorable Member. In terms of the effectiveness of the AGYW program, just to indicate that about 5 years ago, we stood at about 2,500 new infections for HIV amongst adolescent girls and young women. We've been able to reduce that to around 1,000. And I'm told that the prevalence study that's conducted every 5 years by the HSRC has shown some good progress in that regard, even beyond the 1,000. And so we'd be happy, DG, to, like the chair and the ministers advised, to come back to the committee and to present all of these studies and outcomes and impact to the committee to assess. Thanks, DG.
Thank you, Dr. Whittle. Chair, the organization that I wanted, that has conducted, in fact, Dr. Whittle has got that report on the impact of ICT, including online learning, is the OECD. We did share it with the committee, that we shared that report with the committee before, just to look at whether, things like using computers and so on can get you to perform better. It's got very interesting findings. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister. We are done. Thank you.
Okay.
DM?
Yes,
I'm muting. I think we need to take it up to here. When I check in all the notes that I've written on the questions, everything has been covered. Anything here will be something else, but we really appreciate the comments of members, and those comments are going to help the department to improve. So we really appreciate even those things that we think are not proper for us, they help us moving forward. They help us in the monitoring of provinces, like DG was indicating and Minister indicated. We are going to have meetings with MECs because that's the only way we monitor, through meetings with MECs, DG, through meetings with HEDCOM, and all the other CFO will meet with the CFOs in provinces. We are trying, but we still need to do more. Thank you so much, Chair.
All right, thank you very much, Dan, DG. Members, I think the responses that are given have covered all our issues that we have raised with the department. Is there someone that has got a follow-up? But I think just from our side, probably we just need to follow up on the UNESCO as part of our oversight as well, as members. But with that as it may, thank you very much, DM and DG and everybody from the department. Thank you very much for both the presentations. Like we have said, they were the best presentations. And we are going then to meet. Members, we have an invite for tomorrow. It's the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. They have sent us an invite to join their meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I think Kevin will send the connection details for the... they've got an update on the ECD. So members, I know other members are in commitment of other committees tomorrow, but members that are available, please let us join the meeting tomorrow with the Social Development Portfolio Committee. And
I think it's important members that are free, because to our understanding was that it's a joint portfolio committee. It's just unfortunate that now it comes just as an invite from social development, because it's about the migration, where we are right now. And so would really appreciate if those members that are available should go to attend the meeting. Thank you, Chair. My apologies.
Okay. No, you are correct, DM. It's fine. It's okay. I think members, yeah, we got it as an invite. So it's not a meeting initiated by both committees. So we got it as an invite, and that's why I'm putting it as that as well. So members can please join us tomorrow at 10. The details will be sent. And I think as well, Parliament, you'd remember when we started, we knew that we've got 6 weeks for this quota, but I think they have added more weeks. So we are still working on issues. We will still work on issues of the program for both 10 weeks. Probably it has something to do with the elections, if they will be in October, I don't know. So we will proceed for this quota. It's not going to be short as we thought it will be. Thanks. Like we have said, thank you very much to everybody for attending the meeting. We are going to release now the department. Minister.
Thank you, Kwandia.
Okay.
And I managed to connect from the car.
Oh, okay, ma. Oh, no, I thought you are on another meeting.
Absolutely.
No, let us release you, gay. Thanks for coming. We are releasing you anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Team Education and the Portfolio Committee.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Member. Thank you.
Okay. Now we need to adopt the minutes, members. There's also a sitting at 2, so we also need to be in the sitting. These are the minutes of the 17th of August. We had a visual meeting where we had a briefing from the department and SAFE on gender-based violence program and sexual gender-based violence on page 1. Those are the members that have attended the meeting, page 1 and page 2. And page 3 is the officials from department, and page 3 is still the officials and our staff. And then we opened the meeting, and then we welcomed the department and SAFE, and then we had an address which was done by the Deputy Minister, Dr. Mhaule, and then we had a presentation which was done by the department, which was led by Dr. Whittle, and that was the presentation. And then we had a presentation by SAFE, which was led by Mamo Khalane. Those are the committee observations. And we had responses from the DG and Dr. Mawitu and Mamukhalane. And then we concluded the meeting, and then we considered the minutes of the 1st of June and the 3rd of August, and we adjourned the meeting at 5 past 12. Any correction, members? In the absence of no corrections, can we adopt the minutes? Yes.
Chairperson, I propose that the minutes be adopted as reflected.
Siyabonga, Papa Ngobo. Any second?
Second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Comrade Whip. Okay, then we are at the end of our meeting, members, and thank you very much for availing yourself. We are going to have a meeting like we have said tomorrow then with social development. Thank you very much. The meeting is at 2 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned.